This is an ABC podcast.
It's time for kickoff. Welcome to NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. Insights, analysis, and all you need to know in the NRL on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Hello and welcome to what's sure to be a busy hour on NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore and hope you can stick around until 7:30, that it's evenings, followed by Nightlife. Luke Lewis will join me for the second half of the show. Boy, lots happened today. Andrew Abdo has announced he's standing down as CEO of the National Rugby League. More on that shortly. He is taking on the Chief Executive Officer role at Tennis Australia, replacing Craig Tiley. Drama in the New South Wales camp ahead of the kickoff to the men's State of Origin series on Wednesday night. As we just heard in the news, 5'8 Mitchell Moses completed today's training session at Central Coast Stadium in Gosford, but then complained of hamstring tightness, and as a result will have scans tomorrow. And that means the Bulldog Matt Burton has been called into the Blues squad, joining the team tonight, and is on standby should the injury to Moses be serious enough to force him out this week. Surely that would mean Ethan Strange, already in the squad, would start at 5'8", and Burton would go to the bench, but that's a long way from happening. Terrible news for the Warriors and rugby league fans in general. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's NRL career is over. He returned from injury on Saturday at Cogra against St George Illawarra, only to be assisted from the field early in the first half. Now, it's been confirmed today that it is his anterior cruciate, so gone for the year. And he's off to play in the English Super League next year. What a career he's had, particularly as a star fullback with the Sydney Roosters. And after a rugby stint in New Zealand, back with the Warriors, RTS will be missed. Boy, two-time ABC Player of the Year, incidentally. And how about the weekend? Manly Warringah enters the top four. North Queensland jumps to sixth. Melbourne is still 15th. And St George Illawarra remains without a win. Canterbury Bankstown breaks a five-game losing streak. Coming up on the show, like I say, Luke Lewis will be here. And there's plenty of things to chat about, including the men's State of Origin kickoff. Thursday night sees the third and final game of the Women's Origin Series on the Gold Coast. I'll speak with star New South Wales winger Jamie Chapman and outstanding Queensland lock Keeley Joseph. Who's hot and who's not? The director's cut, who Louis will buy and sell. All to come on NRL Monday. It is 12 to 7.
From kickoff to full time, this is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
That's a good start. It's 22 to 7. Can't even look at the clock. Fair dinkum. The end of an NRL era has been announced today, with Andrew Abdo confirming his resignation from the CEO position. He replaced Craig Tiley as chief executive of Tennis Australia, or he will, beating 150 other candidates for the job. Abdo will stay with the NRL until mid-July. Now, he had been in the job since April 2020. In the toughest circumstances imaginable, remember, COVID really kicking in and closing down the premiership completely for 10 weeks. ARL Commission Chair Peter Volandis was this afternoon glowing in his praise of Andrew Abdo.
Needless to say, it's a very sad day for rugby league. Andrew has been the ultimate professional. He has been loyal. He has been hardworking. He has been every adjective I can think. I can't think of a better CEO. I said when Andrew was appointed that he'd be the best CEO ever of the NRL, and for once I was right, because he was, and he has been. He has been by far the best CEO of the NRL. The rapid growth of the game in the last 6 years has been extraordinary. We've got more viewers, more revenue, more assets, more everything.
Yeah, and there is definitely an opinion out there that Peter Volandis requires a yes man. That sells Andrew Abdo way too short, because commercially he's been outstanding. And remember, he was running the commercial division of the NRL even before he got this job. But when he and Peter Volandis joined forces, rugby league was close to broke. Now they're close to the $1 billion mark when it comes to revenue. Plus, he's been at the helm of the NRL with two new teams being admitted, the Las Vegas experience, and they're looking to, you know, have the opening the world round or whatever they're going to call it. the Perth Bears and the PNG Chiefs coming in. And Andrew Abdo is, I think, justifiably proud of what he's achieved in the job.
When Peter and the Australian Rugby League Commission appointed me as CEO, my goal was pretty simple, to try and leave the sport in a better and stronger position than it was when I joined. Having said that, I was appointed during a pandemic, so it's relatively easy to achieve that, given what was at stake when I first joined the game. Today, the game is strong, it's vibrant, and it's healthy. We've broken records in recent years, and the metrics that really matter. More people, and importantly, more young people than ever before are playing the sport. And of course, more fans are enjoying the sport. The exciting part is, and I really believe this in all aspects, rugby league is only just getting started on its growth potential. The game is scratching the surface of what is possible, and there is literally no limit to where this game will go. And I will be cheering from the side.
Well, that's Andrew Abdo. Peter Vallandis, as you heard earlier, said that Andrew Abdo has lived up to that rap he put on him back in 2020, that he's the best CEO the NRL has ever had. I don't know whether you agree with that. He has achieved a heck of a lot, though. But you can let me know how you think he should be remembered. Call on 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920 222. He wants to get the next broadcast deal completed over the next 6 weeks, and it will be fascinating to see how that plays out. No doubt it'll break all the financial records for rugby league. And I know of you. I know some of you, or a lot of you, don't like the new rules, or some of them. But one thing is inarguable. Since all of that started changing in 2020, rugby league has soared to unprecedented heights, crowds, viewers, all at record levels. That's not something you can argue. So in my view, he's done an awful lot right.
Be part of NRL Monday.
Call 1300 361 700.
You're with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
18 minutes to 7. I enjoyed chatting with former State of Origin stars across the weekend, Queenslander Dallas Johnson and New South Welshman Chris Mortimer, about some historic moments in State of Origin history. And it does lead you to wonder what is in store for us on Wednesday night. There's the chance of some rain at Stadium Australia. Luke Lewis and Billy Moore both said yesterday they feel this could be one of those classic Origin series. New South Wales appears to be a firm favourite. But doesn't that mean the Maroons have the Blues right where they want them? I also look at the two teams on paper and think the Blues have the better side. But I thought that last year as well, before Queensland did what Queensland does and win a series that appeared from a distance to be beyond them. I think one of Billy Slater's greatest achievements. So what are you thinking about Wednesday night? Regardless of which side of the border you sit, you can call on 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920 222. I think New South Wales should win. And I've got the score in my head as 20 points to 16. Player of the match for me, Hudson Young. I think he'll do something incredible near the goal line. Now, I do expect Sam Walker to be very good for Queensland on debut, and he has big targets on the wing as well in Selwyn Cobbo and Jojo Fifita. Who's the X factor off the bench? I'm saying Blake Brayley for New South Wales and Ezra Mann for Queensland. Now, I'm equally sure all of these predictions will bite me on the rump come Wednesday night. So you tell me, what's going to happen? Who's going to star? 1300 361 700, the number to ring, or text 0467 920 222. 16 minutes to 7 o'clock. Coming up next, we're going to check in with both camps ahead of Women's Origin number 3 at Robina Stadium, which starts and is going to be played on Thursday night.
Bet you didn't know we're the world's biggest gamblers.
Totally crippled my life.
Bingo!
I'm finding out why and if we really are the lucky country. Join me, Sean McAuliffe, Going for Broke.
Starts Tuesday, May 19 on ABC TV and ABC iView. Got something on your mind?
Call Andrew now on 1300 361 700.
This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Well, game three, the final game of the Women's State of Origin series on Thursday night at Robina Stadium on the Gold Coast, with New South Wales looking to complete a rare clean sweep, having won the first two games, very tight contests. Jamie Chapman is a feature of the Blues team on the wing. She actually scored the first try in game two up in Brisbane, and she's on the line. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. I've loved watching you play for a long time. It must still be quite a thrill to be able to score a try before 23,000, 24,000 fans at a venue like you did in Brisbane.
Definitely. It was a packed out stadium, and every single game that we play, we make history with viewership. So Origin is always the pinnacle of women's rugby league, and I'm really grateful to be able to get out there and to score a try, tops it off.
How cool is that, though, Jamie, when you find out, like we did the TV figures the next day, and it's well over 1 million people, and you're almost 400,000 people more watching you than watching a big AFL matchup.
I know, it's amazing. It just shows how far the women's game has grown and how fast it's grown and how many people actually watch it and are interested in it. We hear so many people say that they prefer watching us women play, and it shows in the stats. So, yeah, really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the game's been evolving. We've been calling it here at the ABC for a number of years now, and just in my experience, the physicality's always been there. I think there are many more very athletic players on the field, whether it's NRLW or Origin. Kicking games have really changed in the last couple of years, haven't they? A lot more depth from kickers in general play.
I definitely think so. I think the game, obviously being more established, we're getting, better access to better coaches. People are being put on as coaches full-time now. They can invest all their time into us, and obviously our kickers are really benefiting from that, and hopefully soon we'll become full-time athletes. But for now, part-time, having full-time staff is really cool. So, super grateful for that too.
That's got to be next, hasn't it? That's got to be soon next, I mean. And that is having the comp start before the Start of Origin series begins, having you full-time, because people think, oh, well, what have they been doing? Their first game was Origin 1. You've been training for, 6-7 weeks?
Definitely. And yes, considering how fast the game has grown and expanded so quickly, I still think that we deserve a full-time position. Like the hours these women do just to get by and pay rent, to work full-time, have 3 children on the side and also play rugby league is incredible what some women do. I think we definitely deserve it. I hope the next CBA, includes us playing each other twice even.
Yes.
Rather than bringing new teams in. I think it would be amazing to have a full season, and obviously that'll prepare us for Origin as well. We'll have some games under our belt before we get into Origin.
Yeah, it's time. It's definitely time for that. This series so far, Jamie, it's been really tough. You girls have won both games, I was lucky to call, both in Newcastle and up in Brisbane. And that first game when Queensland scored very early on and led 6-0, they looked like they might be a big chance. But the way you girls dominated the second half must have been very pleasing up in Newey.
Yeah, definitely. Strangey was so proud of our efforts defensively. I think our team is based on grit and determination, and if without that, we definitely wouldn't have won that game. And our girls are so motivated to get the win for our state, for our communities, for our families, and we go out there for more than just footy. So, I think that's what got us through that first game. And wrapping up the second game, we still know that we have one more game left to go, so job's not done yet.
Well, game two in Brizzy, you girls scored 2 tries in the opening 20-odd minutes. You scored early, and then Keely Nizza scored a try, and it was 8-0. And you thought, oh, boy, the Blues are too good here. They're gonna do a job on Queensland again at that venue. But, gee, they made you earn it again, didn't they?
We know Queensland is such a tough side, and Origin is the best game of rugby league, in my opinion. I think the best players from both Queensland and New South Wales, and coming together for a battle, I think there's no game like it. So we knew what to expect, and I'm so glad and proud of our girls that we held it out against them, and they're going to come out like that again, game three, no doubt. They won't let us have 3 that easy.
Yeah, but they do have significant injury worries, and it just seems to be the way, Jamie, doesn't it? When you're winning and playing great footy, the injury, you can pick the same side, and that's what the Blues have done. After what happened last year, you won the series, no problem, but you couldn't do the clean sweep. There hasn't been one for New South Wales in men's or women's footy since the year 2000. How important is that for you girls to do that on Thursday?
Yeah, there never has been a women's team win 3-0. So we want to make history. We're going out there to do that. We want to be on the history books forever and something that, can't be taken away from us. So we have got the team to do it, and our game plan is, you know, pretty unstoppable. So if we get everything right and do all the little one percenters and all the important things right, we'll come across with the win.
There's only one person that I know that you've been upsetting, Jamie, with winning this series again, and that's been my colleague Karina Brown, your old Gold Coast Titans teammate.
I know. I bumped into her the other week and we had a good chat, and I miss Karina. She's absolute legend of the game, but it's so good to still have her around. And obviously with you guys at ABC, she's Queensland through and through, but I definitely gave it to her when I saw her.
Good girl. All right, Jamie, so good to chat to you. Can't wait for Thursday night, and good luck against those the dreaded Maroons.
Thank you so much. Up the Blues.
Well, from Jamie Chapman, let's go to the Queensland camp, desperate to avoid a series clean sweep, and it's been such a tight series, as we mentioned with Jamie. Their vice-captain for Game 3 up on the Gold Coast is lock forward Keely Joseph. Hello, Keely. How are you going?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
That's the way. Very, very well. Look, it's such a blow losing three key players, wasn't it? Tamika Upton, Julia Robinson, Mackenzie Wheel, for this game, but I guess from that comes opportunity. What's the mood been like in camp?
Yeah, it's been really good. Vibes have been high. We're really looking forward to stepping up this game. We know we're missing some vital players, but we think we can really step up for them and get the job done.
So because you're without those three players who have been around for a while at this level, is there a different kind of atmosphere in camp?
We've just got the nothing to lose mentality. Obviously, they've already won the series, so we're really just going to go out there and give it everything we got and hopefully not let it be a clean sweep.
Yeah, you managed to prevent that a year ago, so you girls can obviously call on that, because clean sweeps are rare, men's or women's rugby league. They're very, very rare, so I get that you wouldn't want that to happen. What do you girls have to do well to ensure that doesn't happen?
Well, you know, we've come so close the last two games. I think just getting our completion right, completing our sets and getting to our kicks is the main thing. There were so many errors in the last game, so, and we were literally this close to winning. So if we can get those little things right, then I think we will be sweet.
Well, I go back and I think of that first game in Newcastle, calling it with Karina Brown, and you girls were right in it. You led at half time, and then New South Wales probably dominated the second half. And I thought, had Queensland won, you were going to be player of the match. You were outstanding, and then had to leave the field with, I think, 10 minutes to go for an HIA. And you'd lost Mackenzie Wheel in the opening minute, despite how well Atessa Boulle played when she came on and scored that early try. But you can't lament lost opportunities, I suppose. But that was so close, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. It was just very unlucky the way we started the game. Obviously, losing Mackenzie Wheel the first hit up of the game, and then that just stuffed our rotations all up. And then obviously me in the last 10 minutes, it kind of just maybe rattled a few people, and we just couldn't quite get there in that game. But we obviously we backed it up pretty well in the second game, but we just couldn't hold the ball. So we really want to change that this game.
That was the killer, wasn't it? I mean, come on, that game in Brizzy, you girls are right into it. But you completed it under 60%, and you can't win games that way, can you?
Yeah, exactly. We got, it was 57% or something. No one can win a game like that. So I just think we can take that as a positive. We were there in the last few seconds. We could have won that game.
But no.
When we actually have the ball, it'll be crazy to see what we can do.
To me, just watching, the standard of game two overall was better than game one. And, you know, you've all had a bit of at least one game of footy under your belts as opposed to that first game in Newcastle. The intensity was just as good in game one as game two. What about the speed of both games, Keely? How did they measure up against each other?
Well, I'd say last game was definitely faster. There was
right. There
was a moment in the game I think in the first half, there was like 8 minutes or something without a stoppage.
Yes.
And that's pretty crazy. So, just the speed of the game has been unmatched this year. And I think we can go to another level for this last game.
It was a legitimately thrilling game of footy to watch, despite that drop ball, particularly from Queensland. So they beat you 14-10. As you say, right near the end, you could have still jagged victory. How did you all respond in the sheds after that heartbreaking loss?
We were all definitely really depressed about it. We fought so hard and we just came so close. But we've realised what we need to do and we're ready to do that for the next game.
Well, the great Lauren Brown takes over from Tamika Upton as captain. I'm sure she'll do a great job. You're there as vice-captain. What sort of a leader are you, Keely? Are you a barker or are you just do what I do kind of player?
I'm a little bit of both. Obviously, off the field, I tend not to say too much, like in trainings and stuff. And when it's on the field, I just don't shut up. But when that happens, I back it up with my actions, which I think the girls and the team tend to respect, which is really good. And I just think if we can all respect each other and play for one another, I think we will come away with a win, hopefully.
And just finally, for those of us watching on Thursday night, with some of the young players coming into this team, who's one that's going to stand out that we're going to enjoy watching?
I think Yarrow is a big forward. I think she's going to do really well for us this Thursday. I'm really excited to see what she can do. She's so strong in what she does, and I think she's going to go to another level this game, which is really exciting to see.
All right. Well, can't wait. You know, this has been so well populated both at grounds and on TV and hopefully here on the radio as well. May they continue on Thursday. Good luck avoiding the clean sweep and putting pride still in that Queensland jersey. It's almost been too tight a series to lose 3-0. Yeah. So best of luck, Keelan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Who's hot?
Well, for mine, it's the Dolphins. For the first time in the Finns' 4 years as an NRL team, they've won 4 games in a row. And even without a few Origin players, the Dolphins were too good for Canberra at Canberra Stadium. Plenty of rugby league pundits were talking them up big time before the season started. And they're off to an ordinary start. But now they're into the top eight. They're on 14 points, just one win actually outside the top four. Well placed heading into the bye. And most definitely, at the moment, it's fins up. What about who's not? Who's under the pump? Look, I love him, but it's Laurie Daly. Having replaced Michael Maguire as Origin coach last year after a sensational New South Wales triumph the year before, Laurie's Blues were beaten 2-1. Now, he has this year remaining on his contract. Over two stints, his coaching record is actually not very good at Origin level. Now, Loz is a legend of the game, champion human being, but on Wednesday night and for the remainder of the series, Laurie Daly is most definitely under the pump. On the text line 0467 920222, how do New South Wales start as favourites when Queensland are defending series champions and have the stronger team, in my opinion? Would like to see Young and Radley focus on playing football and not the niggle. That's from Nick. I assume home ground advantage has a fair bit to do with that too, being at Stadium Australian. Not that it's always gone that way over the last couple of years. Good evening, Andrew. Monday and Maury, love it. From Sunday's first thought segment of players whom have been workhorses, my first thought, female Ruan Sims and male Jonathan Thurston. Commentator, me. Well, that's kind. Thank you, Adrian. From a moon and star-drenched Townsville. Well, we're just drenched here in Sydney. I'm glad you've got all that going on in Townsville. Thank you, Adrian. Paul from Brisbane says, Andrew Abdo is the only rival to John Quayle as best administrator the game has had in this country, navigating through the COVID mire and then seeing how the game has thrived. Didn't happen with the right people and steps at the top. Congrats on his contribution. It would be great if he could fix the six again on his way out the door. P.S. Ben Eichen, a ready-made replacement. All right, we'll find out. News is next.
Your complete NRL wrap. This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Yes, welcome to the second half of NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore, joined in a moment by Luke Lewis. The big story today, as we just heard in the news, Andrew Abdo resigning as NRL Chief Executive. That means Peter Vlandis will be taking over that role for the time being, as well as being Commission Chair of the ARL. How is it all going to work?
Andrew will be here till the 15th of July. After that, yes, I will be taking on executive duties until a replacement is found. I've taken 4 months long service leave from my current role at Racing New South Wales to take this on. It's in a very important time for rugby league. We've got the biggest deal we'll ever do in the broadcast deal. So Andrew normally works 18 hours a day. So until the 15th of July, it'll be 20 hours a day. Because it is an important deal, and Andrew's integral to where we're going to be with it.
20 hours a day, that seems like a lot of hours. Andrew Abdo will be off to run Tennis Australia in Melbourne, an extremely highly sought-after job. Applicants came from right around the world, but it sounds like he has a lot of hard work left before he goes. Mitch Moses may be in doubt for Origin 1 on Wednesday night because of a hamstring injury. Matt Burton has been called into the squad. Now, joining me in the studio is someone who very proudly put on the sky blue jersey of New South Wales 17 times in State of Origin. He also played 16 tests for Australia. He won 2 premierships in 2003 with Penrith and in 2016 with Cronulla Sutherland. And my co-commentator, which I think he puts above all those other achievements on ABC Sport since 2019. Welcome, Louie. Good to see you. How are you going?
Yeah, it feels like it's been a whole hour since I haven't seen you, Andrew. So it's great to be here.
It has been like that. And we're going to see each other again on Wednesday.
And then Friday.
And then Friday. And
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. How good.
And then I'm going to come over on Monday and visit you again.
Will you?
Yeah.
Even if you're not on the show?
Absolutely.
Just come in, we'll go and have a feed. That sounds good. The news of Andrew Abdo today, did that surprise you like it did a lot of us?
It did. I didn't see it coming. I didn't hear any talk about it. No. So I was very surprised. But how can you not put your hand up and say, yeah, you're going to leave when you go into a sport like Tennis Australia? It's quite amazing. And then you hear about, obviously, all the candidates that went for it, and he's the one who got it. So well done to Andrew Abdo. And he's done a great job of our game.
Yes.
He's done an amazing job. But I think Peter Vlandis is the next key for us. And as long as we don't lose him, I think we're still in good hands.
Well, he's now taking over that role, along with his current role, hiatus from racing for 4 months. And so, look, he's going to be there for the rest of the season, at the very least. And it seems clear that the main priority now is getting this broadcast deal done, and he wants that done before Andrew Abdo leaves in 6 weeks' time. So that could be historic.
That's what I was going to say. The weirdest thing is the timing of when he's leaving. Mm. You think about everything that's going on at the moment. You'd think you got the World Cup, you got the negotiation of the new deal coming up. There's a heap going on, and to leave now, which is a tough one to swallow. But in saying that,
I think it's more the timing of the vacancy at Tennis Australia.
Yeah, and you have to take it. If that's a job that you've dreamed of, and it seems like a dream job, you've got to have a crack at it. And you got it, so you've got to go.
When you look at the path that Craig Tiley, who had that role at Tennis Australia, has taken, he was CEO of the organisation, plus running the Australian Open. I think Andrew Abdo's job is only Tennis Australia. I want to say only, but it's a huge job. But Craig Tiley left that role because he's been signed to run US Tennis.
Yeah, right, there you go.
It's quite the stepping stone. It's more than a stepping stone, but it can be that as well. So, yeah, he's going to be a busy man, Peter Vlandis. How different is it? It seems to me that for the first time in ages, and I'm talking about the last, maybe since COVID, that the AFL's been chasing its tail a bit. To me, AFL had always been much better run than rugby league. And I say that as a huge fan of what John Quayle in particular and also Ken Atherton did to reinvigorate the game in the 80s and 90s with the Tina Turner campaign and in 1995 when they brought in a whole group of new teams like the Cowboys and the Warriors. But it seems to me that rugby league's never been stronger in terms of its national importance, even ahead of AFL. AFL seemed to be on the back foot a little bit. I've not seen that before.
Yeah, I haven't seen it before, but it's great to have that sort of influence. But I'm a big believer on the leaders that we've got in the NRL at the moment. And again, it leans down to Andrew Abdo and Peter Vlandis. I think they've done a great job. But I reckon it all started from COVID. That's when it all started. And when the COVID was gone and then you've seen the AFL stand down and Peter Vlandis stood up and said, no, we're playing, that's when it all changed for me. That's when I
And they were getting
like,
hammered by everybody.
They were getting hammered, yeah. Yep. And I remember they saying, no, you're not going to be able to do it. Yeah, we are. Peter Vallandi said, we are going to be able to do it. And I thought the way that he handled that, including Andrew Abdo, that's when AFL went below the NRL, and that's where I reckon the NRL have slowly taken off, just because we've had great leaders and people who are willing to do you know, certain things that require a lot of hard work.
Yeah, and remember the whole group that Wayne Pearce headed, and they came up with the start date, I think May 23, whatever it was, absolute toss-up. Absolute
toss-up. They made it up, but they still got
there. They made it up, but that gave them that focus, and Peter Vallandis was like, and Andrew Abdo the same, if you don't believe in it, go. Yeah. We're getting back on deck before anyone else.
But see, I love that too, because I'm a big believer on goal setting. And if you have a time and a date set on it, well, you've got to get there for that time and date. And I reckon if you don't have it, everything just, oh, well, it doesn't matter. We haven't got a date yet. It doesn't matter. It just keeps getting pushed back. So you're genius.
State of Origin, the men's series starts on Wednesday night. We'll be on air from 7 p.m. I know how much you love it, Louis. Does it ever grow old for you, Origin?
No, not at all. It's been the best sport I've ever watched, rugby league in general, but State of Origin, I still remember being a kid running home, and it stands out to me like yesterday. And I actually had someone ask me yesterday, what are you looking forward to this Origin series? I said, I feel like we're going to have a brilliant Origin series. I think there's something brewing. I've got a good feeling about it. Even though there's another little toss now, you got that's thrown a spanner in the works with Mitch Moses, but I still believe that we can actually get this. I think we can go 3-0.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm so bullish on the Blues this year. I like the way they look. I love
their
side.
That'll be the first time since 2000.
It hasn't been done for a long time. The girls are going for it as well.
Yep.
I think it's going to be all about New South Wales 2026, and that's what I'm feeling. And that's
Did you
I'm
not
hoping.
Feel this last year?
I didn't, no.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it even when we said, oh, Queensland was the worst team we've ever picked. Didn't feel it then either.
Do you know what? I've confused myself. You did feel it when Michael Maguire took over.
When Michael Maguire took over, I felt like there was a whole shift in New South Wales.
Yep.
And that was all about bringing back the old boys, the feeling of State of Origin, what it meant to you again. It was great. I've still got that feeling. I was there on Monday night, seeing the boys. I just feel like they're a really good football side. And I feel like they're all playing really good football at the moment. I look at Queensland. I think they're a great side as well, but I don't feel like they're playing their best footy. But Origin does bring the best out in you.
I was going to say, Lou, and look, you've played. I've just watched. I've been lucky to call a heap of them. But to me, I look at these teams, I said this earlier, and I think New South Wales has the better team that's been selected. But I'm not sure how much that matters.
It doesn't.
What's the difference? Because it's not just the names that are on the back of jerseys. It's more than that. What is it?
It's moments. We all talk about moments in Origin. But for me, it's about the story. It's about what it means to you as a person. So everyone thinks when you go in, everyone goes, is Laurie Daly a good coach? Well, it doesn't matter if he's a good coach or not. He knows Origin. He understands Origin. It's about how you paint the picture of State of Origin. Now, for me, I remember my first time I went into Origin, Gus Gould was our coach. But every time we walked in, you'd get on the bus as a blue jersey, you'd touch it. You know, you'd put your hand on it, you'd touch it, it'd mean something to you. You get off, you had to touch it before you got off the bus.
I love that.
But then when you go into a video room, it wasn't about watching us on how to get better or how to play as a team. Everything was about Origin moments. And they would show videos of someone doing extra work when it wasn't their job to do it. Mm. Running from the other side of the field to make a tackle because someone missed a tackle. Diving on a ball where there's, you know, people everywhere or there's boots and there's knees and just putting your head where you don't want to put it, but you've got to do it for your team. There are little things like that. And for me, he built the story of Origin from day one to Wednesday night. And then come Wednesday night, all you wanted to do was wear that blue jersey, bleed for the blue jersey, the name on your back and the people that are in the crowd. And for me, that was State of Origin. That's what it means. And it wasn't about – I didn't learn anything more in Origin except for the players of how to be professional and what it took to be a representative football player. But I learned a lot about what Origin was about, and that for me is the key. So if Laurie Daly can get that right and that message right to all the players in that Blues camp, I think we're right.
Did you hate the Queensland jersey?
I'm different, right? I wouldn't say the word hate. I had a lot of great mates that I got along with really well in the Queensland jersey. But when I took that field, I hated it. When I watched State of Origin, I hated it. But when the game was over, I didn't. It was weird. It was like, I want to be a Blue. I want to win. I want to be one of those guys who can walk around and you know, see the looks on kids' faces that I did them proud on Wednesday night, and they're proud to be a New South Wales rugby league fan or player in the future. But when the game was done, it was done. But I've always been like with any sport.
Yeah.
So,
well, again, I've mentioned this before. You surprised the heck out of me after you retired, and you were on the phone regularly or texting Will Chambers,
yeah,
who was such a rival when he was with the Melbourne Storm. I honestly thought you guys hated each other.
Yeah, well, that's what it's like on the footy field. That's why the best slogan in the world when it comes to State of Origin is mate for your mate, state for your state. When you get on the field, you are playing against your mate, but on the field at the time, you hate them. You literally hate them. They've got the maroon jersey on, you've got the blue jersey on. But as soon as that whistle's gone and it's finished and the game's done and dusted, you don't talk during the Origin series. But when the series is finished, everyone's back to normal. You talk, no one brings it up. You go into kangaroo tours or camps, no one really talks about it, but you can sort of feel the tension early, and then all of a sudden everyone comes back together and it's normal. Mm. But that's how strong and passionate our game is for all the players.
Can't wait. 8:05 kickoff Wednesday night will be on air from 7 p.m. Just before we move on, Mitch Moses injured his hamstring. Maybe it's just precautionary. We won't know until he has scans tomorrow. Matt Burton in the squad. I assume it means Ethan Strange would get the opportunity to start if the worst case happens for Mitch Moses. How worried are you about that from a Blues perspective?
I'm not worried. I wasn't worried in the first place. I actually had Ethan Strange in my side. Mitch Moses, for me, hasn't been running the ball a lot. And this is probably half the reason why we're not seeing him. He might have had a bit of a tweaked hammy there for a little bit, and now the training load has put a little bit more onto it and it's actually done something to it. I think he adds a lot of value to the New South Wales side. If we let Nathan Cleary control the game, which that's his job, he's great at controlling games and executing plans or whatever's got to be done. He's got a great kicking game. Ethan Strange's running game for me can tear that Queensland side apart. If he just is focusing on running and using his strength and his footwork, I think he could be so dangerous for New South Wales.
On the text line, 0467 920222. Good evening, Andrew and Louis. Andrew Abdo and Peter Volandis have a very high level of workhorse ability, that's for sure. What a great get for Tennis Australia. Thank you, Sean. Andrew, didn't the NRL change from not-for-profit in 2020 to focusing on asset creation and profit after COVID-19? Mike in Mackay, no, they were never not-for-profit. They were always a business that tried to make money. They just weren't very good at it. And now they're really good at it. And Mike adds valet Neil Danaher. I know this is a rugby league show, but Neil Danaher's passing today crisscrosses any sport, any walk of life. He's fought against motor neurone disease for 13 years. He's done more than anyone in this country to raise money and awareness about motor neurone disease. And as I mentioned on the drive show in Sydney earlier with Tom, every time the big freeze came about, every time, which is 2 weeks from today, it'll be on the King's birthday weekend Monday. I can't imagine how emotional those scenes will be this year. But the Blue Beanie, Ian Cohen, our colleague down in Melbourne, that was part of his gig with his company, and I was lucky enough to get a few of those big freeze blue beanies to support motor neurone disease. He reached out, he and his family reached out to Jai Arrow last week, Louis, after that horrible, horrible diagnosis came down to the South Sydney Star, and just an amazing family. And Neil Danaher, to hear him speak up until the last couple of years where his speech became too bad, was the most positive, incredible, inspirational person ever. And to hear him, there was a video out there maybe 5 or 6 years ago now where he went to address the Melbourne Demons in a dressing room and spoke to them in such a way that, again, you'd have tears coming out of your eyes, but you'd be ready to run through walls. It'd be like playing an Origin game. And he knew what his fate was, but he wouldn't accept it. He knew it, but he didn't accept it. And it's just incredible human being by all reports. And I don't know him at all, but every time I see or heard Neil and his family speak, you felt ridiculously sad, but B, you felt, wow, this is an incredible family.
But even just to have that, for 13 years and still be able to have passion and purpose behind what you're going through and be able to share that and move on, that blows my mind in its own.
Yeah.
But you know what scares me the most is that I'm hearing so much about it now.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. I'm here and there's so many people that are affected by it. Absolutely mind-blowing on what's going on out there at the moment. But, great human being, like you said, and I didn't know him. I never got to meet him, but every person who's ever spoke about him, there was people I heard today speaking about how good he was and how instrumental he was to certain people around them. And I think Jai Arrow is going to be the person who carries that torch to go on and continue to do what Neil done.
And just hoping and hoping and hoping that the money raised will eventually lead to some sort of cure. I mean, we can, like yesterday in Townsville Stadium, they raised $50,000.
That's just amazing. But the rugby league community,
I understand.
You never expect any difference. It's quite mind-blowing, but that is huge.
Unreal.
What did they do?
They just basically were asking for donations for motor neurone disease research, and in a one game crowd with 50, not 000. Much warning, 50,000 wow. was raised. 0467 920 222. Manu Warringah's resurgence is one of the biggest stories of the NRL season. They're into the top four after winning yet again for new coach Kieran Foran, and the question is, are they in the top four to stay? A much tougher than anticipated 12-10 win over Gold Coast at Brookvale Oval on Saturday night. But as halfback Jamal Fogarty told us yesterday, winning ugly is a great skill to have. And Kieran Foran is getting the best out of everyone. How good is Clayton Faulalor at fullback? A man of the match performance against the Titans. Tom Trbojevic still to come back. Talatau Kola to come back into the team after Origin. Some very pleasant selection headaches looming for Kieran. And no doubt he'll be signed long-term by the Seagulls. It's a matter of time, and also how much time Kieran wants to sign for, because at this moment he can pretty much write his own contract. Is there a bigger surprise than this Manly turnaround this year? Remember, the team's first three games of the season were at Brookvale, and three losses, 29-28 to Canberra, 36-16 by Newcastle, 33-16 by the Roosters. Anthony Seibold was canned. Kieran Foran seemed a stunning appointment, having just retired from playing. But just one loss since he took over, by 2 points to top of the table Penrith, and that from round five to now. Just outstanding. And they could keep getting better. One of my favourite chats we've had all year on our footy show, Louis, was with Jamal Fogarty yesterday, and he came on at a time we were talking about coaching, and Connor Watson mentioned, I think it was ignited by a listener texting about the role of assistant coaches, and he was talking about videos, and you went on to say how boring videos were and you'd nearly be falling asleep, and the best coaches kept it pretty direct and kept you focused. Jamal Fogarty spoke about what Kieran Foran does. What did you learn about that, and what impressed you from what Jamal said?
Well, it reminded me of everything that I loved about rugby league. So when I had my best seasons were always about having how much fun you were having at training. And you hear about Jamal talk yesterday, and it sounds like they rock up and they have fun, but they're doing the hard work. But the other thing is, I remember playing one season, all we did was skill games. Everything we did for fitness was skills games. So every time you played or you rocked up on a fitness day, you had the ball in hand, you're communicating with people next to you, you're competing on every play. That's what they're doing. And I used to love rocking up on Tuesday mornings knowing exactly what was happening. Our video sessions went no longer than 10 minutes. My concentration levels, Andrew, are about 8 minutes maximum for the whole day.
I don't think we've ever seen 8 minutes.
But that's what I got out of it yesterday. It felt like every player there is can't wait to get to training on Monday after they're played. Usually that's very hard to get out of players, because you go in and you do video, then you do review, then you've got all – the day just seems to drag on.
Footy players want to be active.
They want to be active.
Yeah.
I reckon Kieran's gone in and said, well, as a football player, this is what I like to do. This is what I'm going to implement. And every other player that's playing at Manly feel the exact same way. And there's no weird crazy spell that he's put on him. It's just that he's brought the enjoyment of the game back for all the players, and they're doing it with a smile on their face. They're loving competing, and that's the key.
Every time you speak to or hear a Manly player speak, it's the exact same tone. All right, now, one thing you like to do at 23 and a half past seven is buy and sell.
Yep.
You're renowned for it, so let's find out what you're doing tonight.
Are you buying or selling?
Righto, Louis, five issues to hit you with. Let's find out if you're buying or selling. The Bulldogs break a five-game losing streak against Melbourne. Jacob Carras had a great game, and he should move permanently to fullback ahead of Connor Tracy. Are you buying or selling that?
No, I'm selling it. I don't think that will happen. I probably wouldn't put him back there fullback full-time just yet. I'd throw him back there for games here and there to continue to learn, have a good off-season with him, and then try him at fullback.
Manly Warringah is in the top four to stay, Louis. Buying or selling?
Buying that, yep. Here, watching Kieran Foran and what he's doing, the way the players are playing for each other, the smiles on their face. Listen to Jamal Fogarty yesterday. I think they're staying, and I think they're pushing really hard for a grand final spot.
Yeah, you reckon they could be that good?
Yeah, I think they're a class side, and I think they're getting better and better weekly.
It's amazing, isn't it? We were there for a couple of those games.
They looked horrible.
Horrible?
Horrible.
It's unreal. All right. New South Wales, Louis, must win at home on Wednesday to have any realistic chance of winning this year's series. Are you buying or selling that?
I'll buy that, because I think it's very important to win game one. At home, you have to win as well. It just gives Queensland too much of a massive head start if they do win here in New South Wales. But I'm buying... what was it?
No, yeah. You're buying.
Yeah, I'm buying. I'm buying that one. And
you're
I'm
buying going. That they will win, have to win.
They will win. They'll win game two and three.
Okay. Now, next Sunday night's top of the table clash between Penrith and the Warriors. We're calling that one from 6:15. Loses its gloss because Ivan Cleary will rest State of Origin players. And no, I don't know that he will or not. But are you buying or selling that idea?
I'm going to buy that idea because I'm going on pass. What he's done in the past, and I think he will rest his players because I know he's sitting at the top of the competition. They're playing great football. They've got a pretty good run. They've got so much football in front of them. I think he won't rest all of them, but he'll rest a few of them, and I reckon he'll be very smart and strategic about how he does it.
Yeah, best predictor of future behaviour is past behaviour, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct.
All right, and finally, another Manly thing. Are you buying or selling Kieran Foran as coach of the year?
Yes, 1,000%. That's a buy for me. So at the moment, it has to. How do you come into a side who was so bad and then all of a sudden become so good, sitting in the top four, and like I said, I think they're pushing for a grand final spot at the end of the year. You'd have to go down as coach of the year.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got a big fat wallet because you're
buying a lot.
Buying fire here.
Yeah, I've got a salary cap though.
Well, it doesn't sound like you care about it too much. On the text line, good evening, Andrew and Louie. On ABC Sydney Today with Thomas, they spoke with a motor neurone disease expert that suggested there is a link with motor neurone disease and agriculture from John. Read a post on Facebook suggesting Jive for July, whereby the sponsor donated $1,000 for each try to motor neurone disease. And it's a great idea, Scotty. I heard about that on the weekend as well. 0467 920 222 on the text line. NRL Monday with Andrew Moore and Luke Lewis. Now, every Monday, Ralph Tucker, our producer, who also produces our rugby league coverage, comes up with the director's cut. It's his personal favourite thing that happened on the weekend's broadcast. He doesn't tell me what it is. You don't know what it is, do you?
No, no idea. I can't even find out what the first thought is. How am I going to find the director's cut?
Let's find out together.
The director's cut.
Oh, is this our man, Christopher? Hello, Christopher.
Hello, boys. How's going?
Going all right, mate. Your voice is getting deeper every time.
It's been a while.
What's happening?
No, nothing too much. Just like swatting the flies away from my food.
How'd you spend your Sunday? I'll swap the flies from your food. Can I ask you this follow-up question, please, Christopher? What the heck are you eating that's attracting so much attention from flies?
I'm eating some Maccas because I just got some Maccas about 15 minutes ago and I've been just sitting in the shed eating them and these flies are buzzing around my head.
Oh, they love their fast food. Man, eyes are flies. It was great to hear from Christopher yesterday. Yeah, good call, Ralphie. And the look on Connor Watson's face, because Christopher, as a really cute 10-year-old, started doing stuff with us and we gave him a weekly segment. He's been through a hell of a lot in his life, Christopher. Legally blind, he's had two open-heart surgeries, moved from Mount Isa to New Zealand back to Mount Isa. He's now concentrating on his studies in year 11 in school. But he sounded like he was 45 yesterday. It was incredible.
No, I remember the conversation.
Oh, sorry, Louis.
No, I just remember the conversations we used to have with him every Sunday.
Yeah.
Christopher's Corner, and, he's changed so much. When I heard his voice, I didn't pick it at first. And then I seen you go, is that Christopher, the real Christopher?
Christopher.
Yeah, and then he did the Queenslander at the end, and it still sounded very deep as well. So,
oh, he's deeper than Billy.
Yeah, but, no, it's good to hear his voice. He's doing a... But I don't know about the fly thing. That was a bit crazy.
A lot of things happen. There's always a few distractions when it comes to Christopher. All right, this hour has absolutely whizzed by, Louis. We're done. You came all this way for that.
Yeah, I think it's great to see you anyway, mate.
Great to see you too. But I'll see you on Wednesday.
Can't wait.
We'll be on air from 7 p.m. with John Gibbs and Queenslander Matthew Elliott. State of Origin 1 for the men's series. Thursday night, Robina Stadium from 7. Game 3 of the women's series with Quentin Hull, Karina Brown and Zane Bojack. Thank you to our producer, Ralph Tucker, to Tommy behind the panel over there, and to Jared Ryan from our social department. I'm Andrew Moore. Thank you for listening. Evening's next, then Night Live right here on ABC Radio.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.